God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. We're going to talk about President Trump's Liberation Day, and we're going to talk about leg day in the gym for people who periodize and do upper body, lower body days. Oh, no, wait, you don't need to be a gym hound or gym rat for the metaphor to make sense. And if you've ever been someone who worked out a lot and took a ton of time off and went back to the gym and did leg day, well, it's going to be even more meaningful to you, I hope, if I get out of God's way and let him take the show over. So President Trump made an announcement from the Rose Garden.
This is Liberation Day, waiting for a long time. April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again.
And I hope it's remembered well. I truly do. Because it's an important thing that President Trump is doing, and he's given some important warnings about this. I don't think the Mockingbird media is going to remind America that he gave these warnings. The president described America's current economic policy.
The United States can no longer continue with a policy of unilateral economic surrender. We cannot pay the deficits of Canada, Mexico, and so many other countries. We used to do it. We can't do it anymore. We take care of countries all over the world. We pay for their military. We pay for everything they have to pay. And then when you want to cut back a little bit, they get upset that you're not taking care of them any longer. But we have to take care of our people, and we're going to take care of our people first. And I'm sorry to say that. And today we're standing up for the American worker, and we are finally putting America first.
So interesting that the president, said he's sorry to say that. Sorry to say that we have to put America first. That's an interesting turn of phrase from him. Maybe he's a man who really does want to be able to help the world economically. And I do believe that CEO Trump is best Trump. I really do. Looking at where we're at economically, we are structurally bankrupt. Meaning, it's not a question of if we are eventually completely broke. It's a matter of when. It's structurally built into our broken, corrupt system. President Trump has taken more action to change that than any president in history, ever. There is no contest. He also warned us about the pain involved in this, because there's going to be pain. Wholesale change always brings pain. Here's how the New York Times reported this live update. Trump unveils retaliatory tariffs at White House. Retaliatory, really? So equaling it out, having the same tariffs as other countries to put on us, that's retaliatory. Couldn't it just be also equalizing? I mean, don't we live in an era of equity? President Trump is announcing his plans for sweeping retaliatory tariffs on America's trading partners at a Rose Garden ceremony. He's argued that tariffs will rebalance a global economy after years of countries ripping off the United States. Uncertainty over Mr. Trump's plans has unnerved investors who fear that the new tariffs could accelerate inflation, slow consumer spending, and stall the U.S. economy. The possibility of a global trade war has fueled stock market volatility in recent weeks. Okay. New York Times. You know that they're going to be tough on Trump in every turn. So about leg day. Years ago, a friend of mine wanted to come lift weights with another of my friends. So the three of us were going to go to the gym together. And I said to this guy, hey, when's the last time you lifted? He said, oh, I used to lift a lot in college, and I was almost on the Olympic weightlifting team, and I almost had a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Now, by the way, he was a very, very nice man, given to exaggeration, and we knew this. But honestly, when was the last time you were in a weight room? Oh, gosh, probably 6 years. Okay. Maybe it would be a good idea for you to do some things at home and some push-ups and some air squats and stuff, or maybe just come and do that with us rather than getting under some weights. No, I'm good. Okay, because me and Paul, we do this a lot. No, I'm good. Okay. So he came to the gym with us, and he decided to lift like me and Paul were lifting. Now, he admitted he wasn't going to lift the weights that we were lifting. My friend Paul, God rest him, was a very, very, very big and talented athlete. He'd almost played pro football and had to have two hip replacements as a young man. And I was fat, really enormous, but I could lift a lot of weight. And our friend lift lesser weight, but the same rep counts. And he worked with us. Next day, he didn't show up for work. His wife called me. Hi, what's going on? You broke my husband. What? He can't move. He can't get out of bed. He's sick. He's vomiting. Okay, number one, get him to the hospital. He probably has something called rhabdo. Number two, we warned him. We begged him to not do that. Number three, get some fluids in him now. Electrolytes, and I'm talking bottles and bottles and bottles of Gatorade, as garbage as that is. Get some and have him drink it on the way to the hospital now. Two or three days later, he couldn't move his arms to answer the phone. He had to lean over and knock the phone off its stand and put it on speakerphone. He had to be helped out of his seat. Embarrassingly enough, he had to be helped to sit down on the toilet. Why? Because he had put off caring for his body. And it was a shock to the system. And that shock was very painful. Had he been lifting weights even once or twice a week, he would have been sore. But he wouldn't have been ruined. We're structurally bankrupt. Bankruptcy is built into the very math of our country. Borrowing 5 to 6 cents out of every 10 cents we spend, that's a structural issue. When we look at our actual debt, not our pretend debt is $30 trillion. Our actual debt is more like $330 trillion. How can I say that? Because of the unfunded liabilities for entitlements, which have been purposely attacked by fraudsters. That's structural. If we don't do something, the pain is going to be worse. President Trump warned the nation. We're going to make some changes. It's going to cause pain at first. There's going to be some drops in the stock market at first. And then it's going to settle out. Well, there's going to be temptations for other nations to say, well, you're now equaling our tariff, so we're going to go up by 10%. And President Trump is not a bluffer. He'll follow. And you don't have to like the policy. I recognize that tariffs can have the effect of taxation on the people because we end up paying it, except for this. Our nation has also built into our structure math that makes it more profitable to lobby Washington, D.C. to attack your business enemies than it is to invent new product. It is more profitable to con politicians to destroy your competition than it is to innovate. Pharma knows this. It is more profitable to force people to purchase your products, even though they don't need them or want them, than it is to convince people they need them. That math extends into manufacturing. It has been more profitable for companies to hire massive numbers of lawyers and tax accountants so that they can offshore their businesses but never leave the country than to actually manufacture things here. President Trump is addressing structural corruption, structural bankruptcy in a way that's dramatic and can seem strange. The president did a good job of reminding us that as our nation rose in economic prominence, it wasn't through an income tax. It was through tariffs. The income tax is relatively new. And do you remember how it was sold to the American people? I mean, most of us weren't alive. I don't know that any of us were alive. Here's how it was sold. It will only be for the wealthiest 1%. Oh, well, that's a great idea. Tax the rich. Because they'll pay. Oh, they won't pass that on? Because they're the business owners and they're the producers and they're entrepreneurs. They won't simply raise the price of their goods and services? Sure. Same is true with income tax. So as the president's making these changes, let's think now beyond the so-called temporal. And there is no temporal world. God runs everything. Let's think about a spiritual component to this. If you put off cleaning your spiritual house, and maybe it's a minor sin, and you're simply in the sin management business. So let's say it's so topical and so easy, and I know this disturbs some people, and I apologize that if you have kids, I'm not going to be gross, and I'm not going to be specific, and I'm not going to be biological. I'm just going to talk about some videos. Okay. Let's say that you have become addicted to watching porn. Oh, it's a manageable sin. And let's say that this has gone on for a while and you watch porn and do what comes along with watching porn, but it's okay. You're still kind to your wife. You still love your wife and you're managing that sin. And then eventually there's more of that porn. And eventually then maybe occasionally you have the porn out in the car. Guys, this happens to people. And your mind changes and Satan gets in there and he changes how you view sexuality. And then he says things to you like, wow, that woman at work looks a lot like that woman in the video. But you're managing the sin. Now, Satan looks at that, and now he has this toehold. So he might say something along the lines to you of, you know, that person really didn't put in a whole day of work. They were pretty lazy. It would be okay to hold back a little pay. I mean, they'd never notice. And so you're shorting a paycheck here or there, and you're committing then the sin of that, of theft, and then your wife wants to be respected and talked to and engaged and loved and touched affectionately. But man, that porn is so easy. So you don't clean the spiritual house. And demons trash it. When you eventually begin cleaning the spiritual house, if, praise God, the Holy Spirit convicts you, there's going to be pain. Because you didn't deal with the small things. Instead, you sin managed. We have been sin managing our economy. That's what we've been doing, sin managing it. Graft, greed, theft, coveting, hatred, lying. That's what we've been sin managing. I'm not saying that President Trump is Jesus or the Holy Spirit, but I'm saying you don't think God Almighty wants the spiritual house of America cleaned? Please don't divorce our finances from the spiritual, because to whom much is given, much is expected. And Jesus spoke a lot about money. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Remember that you could become a monthly donor at AFR.net, and you get a lot of benefits with that, not to mention the least of which is, not the least of which, but one of the great ones is AFR Stream and our shows on demand whenever you want them, all the shows, anytime you need them. It's also tax deductible, and it allows for us to take advantage of one of the great abilities of live radio. This is going to sound esoteric, and it's my opinion, it's an educated opinion, that because as I speak, you're getting these words almost immediately. I mean, yes, there's a little bit of delay. We're on 181 stations, and this has to go from Idaho to Tupelo and then out to you, so there's a little bit of a delay. But can I tell you something that I've learned over the years? Emotion transfers better through this connection than it does through podcasting. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because it's digitized in podcasting or they process the voice to sweeten it and enrichen it. And I mean, we used to do that in radio. There used to be a device called a gain brain that would put a lot of bass in your voice. But because of this, I know that I get more notes where God has touched people through radio than podcasts. I'm not to say we don't get great notes and affirming notes about the podcast. Rarely, though, about YouTube. I mean, we get some fantastic comments, and thank you to all the AFR people who made it over to YouTube yesterday. Gosh, bless you for that. So nice to see you there. That's youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. We get notes about the content there. I'm having theological debates with people who have never thought of worshiping the living God, Jesus Christ. I've had conversations with people who are very upset with me for rendering my opinion on President Trump's faith walk. Fascinating talks, but you know what? Rarely ever is it emotional. In radio, it's very common for me to be blessed with notes from people who've been touched emotionally, particularly on the top of the segment we close with, a personal note. That's unique to radio. There's also this, that when you're a monthly donor to AFR at AFR.net, this tax deductible donation, you have the opportunity to have people accidentally confronted by God's word. That's cool. I love when it happens that someone's in a car that's not theirs, or a home that's not theirs, or the business that's not theirs, and they hear news being discussed, and God's word is within it. Suddenly, they're getting God's word, and they didn't intend to do it, and God's new word never returns void. It always carries out the purpose for which God sent it at that time. So I hope you'll consider becoming a donor at AFR.net to carry that out. After all, we're on airwaves that God himself invented. There's a video, and this came from social media, and it is unfair to judge a man or even to be discerning about a man given a short video, but this went so viral. So many comments on it. And to me, it just struck me to be so very sad. I wanted to try to approach this, and I'm hoping and praying God will help me with this. This man took a video of himself explaining why he thinks following Jesus was a waste of time.
No health prayers answered, no career prayers answered, no spousal prayers answered, no children prayers answered, no residential home buying prayers answered, not a single prayer answered in 60 years following Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the Bible. And now I have cancer and no home to retire, and thanks to tithing. Is this what following Jesus is all about? What a freaking joke and a mistake. I don't recommend it.
I don't know him, and I don't know that he's not a troll trying to anger people about Jesus or trying to separate them from the Lord. I don't know, and I also don't know that that's not sincerely his feeling. And as I thought about this and prayed about this, and approaching this, in his entire statement and series of complaints, I don't know why he followed. I didn't get any testimony. Now, maybe that's by choice. But if you're following to get, you're not going to get, because you're not going to be changed. Now, you'll pay, well, wait. People follow to get redemption. Maybe. I mean, redemption happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going to be changed by Him. Yes, that redemption comes with eternity with the Lord. But if you're saying, you know what, I would like hell insurance, so I'm going to follow Jesus. Does one imagine that the God of the universe is fooled? What does God plan for heaven? We know this. Revelation explains to us what heaven is like. There's no unrighteousness there. There's no sin there. There's no ingratitude there. There's no one there who didn't get to know the Lord and walk with the Lord here. It's a far different place, because God does not and will not allow the new heaven and the new earth to be anything like the old earth. So, again, not wanting to bear false witness, did that sound to you like a transactional relationship? Wait, I asked for things, and you didn't give me things. Therefore, you're a false god, or it's a mistake to follow you. When Jesus walked the earth in that three-year ministry, fully man, fully human, he certainly did give some things, didn't he? Food and miracles of food and feeding of the 5,000. And when people showed up the next day, remember that, the great moment? He fed the 5,000, he preached, and then he was tired, and they took him on the boat, and he went across to the other shore, and people made it around that body of water, and they showed up, and, hey, where's the sandwiches? Hey, there's the Jesus guy. Hey, I want a sandwich, but this time more mustard seed, and hey, could you toast the buns? And I like melted cheese, and that goat cheese is okay, but I heard there's cow cheese. And Jesus was heartbroken. But I provide you something from which you'll never hunger. I provide you water from which you'll never thirst. He said these things on other occasions, but it's very consistent throughout the Bible. But you're thinking of your body. Yes, okay, you ate, but I have more to give. And it's that I want you to love me. I want you to love me in the way you can, which is like I love you. You can't love like me, but let's get you there. But we want sandwiches. If there's no sandwiches, well, I'm out. Wait. What about the food that lasts forever? No. I was told it was falafel day. I was told it was 3-for-1 falafel. I hope that doesn't sound too crass with that man. So if you convert to get, you're being transactional. That's how I view this. So what's the other cause for conversion? Have you ever been blown over by God's overwhelming love for you? Knocked to the ground? I have. I used to have a profound problem dealing with anger. And part of this was modeling. My father was a guy who bottled up emotions. And we just talked in the first segment, when you put off pain and you put off dealing with pain and you put off spiritual cleaning, it's harder, you know, spiritually cleaning the house for years. When you finally do it, there's going to be pain. If you don't clean your house for years, when you finally do it, there's going to be pain. My dad would bottle up emotions and then they'd blow up, and I didn't have a model for how a man shares emotions and names them and speaks them. So I got into that. I had this anger issue, and man, it really got me in trouble. Just about destroyed me getting a job at Microsoft. And then I had a dream. God does speak to us sometimes through our dreams. This was overwhelming. I'd fallen asleep with my mind on this burst of anger I had. I actually, this is shameful. This was 20 years ago. I actually threatened the lady on the phone. It's a long story, but she worked with the utility company. She was wrong. My power had been out for 3 days, and I was talking to her on the phone. Hey, they said they'd be here at 9 a.m. They're not here. And she actually said to me, no, they're at your house. Well, ma'am, they're not. Well, sir, they're there. I have it from dispatch. They're at your house. They're in your driveway. No, ma'am, they're not. Sir, I'm going to end this call. I have dispatch. They're at your house. You just don't see them. I was in a massive state of frustration. My father was dying. I was trying to help my friend sell his business. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, had left. And I slipped up and I said something horrible. Immediately regretted it, but she'd hung up the phone, as she should have. And this could have killed my career. Least important, no person deserves that treatment. I felt horrible. And in my dream, I was driving through a construction site in my dream, and there was this guy in this bicycle, and he was slowing us down, slowing all the cars down. He wouldn't get out of our way, and I was honking at him and screaming at him in my dream, and I was agitated in my dream. Then I pulled up beside him, and I stopped, and he looked at me, and he was the image of the Shroud of Turin come to life. The face of Christ Jesus. And he put his finger up, his pointer finger, in a kind way. And he said, don't be angry. And as he spoke those words, don't be angry, I was lifted in my dream into the sky, a dark sky filled with clouds. And then I saw what I interpreted to be God. Now, I know it's just a dream. I couldn't wake up. I could not rouse myself. I became aware that I was asleep. But have you ever heard of sleep paralysis? It's the only case I've ever had. I couldn't move. And that dream became so overwhelming that I feared I was going to die because I was so asleep, so rising, so close to the face of God. And then again, the index finger. Go back and don't be angry. And I was cured of anger outbursts for the most part. Certainly, I'm not perfect. I'm broken. The very next day, I was able to pray for my father in a way that changed his life and mine. In the next month, this relationship that was over was back, and we are now married. We've been together 29 years, 21 of them in marriage. Not a perfect marriage, and if you know of one, let me know. And it all came from that don't be angry. And then I remember this. The day that I got baptized, I showed up early to the church. I was nervous. I was excited. And a woman drove by in her car, and I was parked in the church parking lot, and she stopped in the road, and she stayed an extra long time at the stop sign. There were no cars coming. I thought for a moment her car had broken down. What was she doing? So I made eye contact with her, and she stared at me like a demon. Unbelievably evil feeling. She shook her head and she drove on. It was the opposite feeling of the love, the don't be angry. God delivered a promise. I'd asked God in a prayer, please show my father how sick he is and how loved he is. And please clarify my relationship with this woman. I don't say my wife's name on the air, by the way. And the next day, my father went into the hospital. He never came out. God showed him, hey, Big T, this is how sick you are. And in that hospital bed, my dad received love like he had never known. When from all around the country, former clients of his, he was a social worker, people he hadn't seen since they were 11, flew to see him at the age of 21 and 25. You saved my life. I love you. These are my kids. My dad received that. He learned how loved he was. When my father passed and went to the Lord, praise God, though we were separated at the time, the woman who's now my wife flew back for the memorial. She said, you know what? I don't want you to be alone in this. Plus, I loved your dad. Is it okay if I come? That was the rebirth of our relationship. And immediately we decided no more living together, no more playing around. We're going to be married. Have you ever been bowled over by the love of Jesus? I was. It wasn't transactional. I wasn't getting baptized because I wanted. I was getting baptized because I had received. And sure, God has sometimes not answered prayers in the way I want, but sometimes no is an answer. My question to that man who was so upset that God hasn't given him the things he wanted in what appear to be these transactional prayers is, what did God want from you? He wanted time with you. He wanted to speak with you, to share with you, and to grow in you. Man, I hope that man will rethink his faith walk. And if he's a guy who's trolling Christians, good luck, because none can snatch us from his hand. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I hope you heard the announcement for the Activate Summit. I'm going to be there with people far more mature in the faith than me. I can't wait to meet you. Please do make a point of coming up and saying hi, and let me know what you do, because you all know what I do. It's a unique job that we have here. We'll get into the Tower Babbling and then a personal note, although that kind of turned into a mini personal note, that last segment about being bowled over by the love of Jesus and choosing to commit to him because just bowled over by love. And that's part of my testimony. Do you have, by the way, how good are you at your testimony? That's something I'm going to talk about at the Activate Summit. So we talk about living this out in this world, this broken world of an elevator version of your testimony. So sort of a 60-second version, a 3-minute version, and then a 10-minute version of your testimony. So important that we get good at working that into just natural conversation. And it comes across much, much better if you're doing this in a form where it seems tied to the conversation. And God will present those moments when you make a habit of being available to speak his word and to speak the gospel. God will make those moments available to you. And then it's just the decision to jump into it. So we'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note, etc. Let's do a cleanup item. A radical leftist was finally caught and confronted in the act of Tesla terrorism.
Free service.
Free service? How about you pay for the repairs? Write a check. You just bought a Tesla.
I can wipe it off
with a towel. No.
It's not a heat.
It is a hate crime, sir. It is a hate crime. Did you write a swastika on it?
I'm sorry you're upset.
Did you write a swastika?
It didn't even work. Apparently it doesn't work.
Did you write a swastika on the... It's a key, sir. We see it on the video.
It's not a key.
Is it a swastika?
I was probably putting my keys in my pocket.
Is it a swastika?
Have you looked at your car? Is there a key mark?
Yes. Is it a swastika?
That's impossible.
It's at the police right now. It's being fingerprinted.
What do you mean it's being fingerprinted?
Because they're trying to track you down. Thankfully, Facebook tracked you down. So your business... Your freaking livelihood, everything now. Listen, because you chose to write to tell Facebook that you're sorry for writing a swastika on a Tesla.
Listen, I said I'm sorry.
For what?
And I apologize.
For what?
I have nothing against
your car,
and I have nothing against you.
So why would you write a swastika on a Tesla?
Obviously, I have something against Elon Musk, but that's not the
way to
show
my... So Elon Musk owns that car? It was bought and paid for a long time
ago. That's why it's misguided, and obviously, I did not intend to do this.
All right, we're going
to
wait for the...
Wait a minute. The video does appear to show a key, not a crayon, and Senator Mike Lee commented... This Tesla vandal says, obviously, I did not intend to do that. that is carve a swastika into Tesla. How does one do such a thing unintentionally? I was slipping and falling, and in desperation, I reached into my pocket and grabbed my car key by the handle, produced the pointiest area of it, and then on my way down, just before I hit the pavement, in a desperate act to save myself from a miter scrape on my cheek, I wrote and scraped a swastika into the side of your car accidentally and such. Wow. Toenail holds, toe holds, leg holds, strong holds. I hate Elon Musk. I'm going to do something about it. Oh, there's a Tesla. I'll scratch it. Hatred is an entry point for the devil. And once he has a toehold, he's going to build strongholds. We have an entire segment of society who's made themselves victim to the two-minute hate about which George Orwell spoke. And we have a society where Satan has gotten so, so good at seizing ground and keeping it that you can have people like that. That man probably meant, he probably meant it. Obviously, I didn't intend to do that. That's his quote. Obviously, I did not intend to do that. I don't know that he did intend it. I don't know that he intended to hate Elon Musk. We're responsible for emotions and our actions. We bear accountability for them, and there is spiritual war. So maybe he didn't intend, but nor does he intend to take accountability. I mean, saying I'm sorry you're upset is not accountability. Accountability is you are right. I did that. It's wrong. I need to pay for this. Will you please let me know how much this is going to cost? I need to pay for it. Hopefully that man will get to that point. It's been politicians that have driven this. It's been on purpose. It's a division tactic, obviously, to slow down President Trump, who's creating wholesale changes to the economy that are long, long coming. And there's going to be pain anytime you make wholesale changes. The president warned us about this. So it's frustrating to watch it work that leftist politicians have driven hatred like that in that man. And sometimes it's frustrating. But on this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babel.
Hey, if you have an issue with trans women being in cis woman sports, you're either not a real athlete, because any real athlete would welcome a challenge and welcome the opportunity to show that they're better than the other person, or two, you're a sore loser, or just not an athlete in general. So
makes all the nonsense in the world. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Christine Reeves wants you to believe that racial segregation is equal to men playing in women's sports.
I want to remind us that we are repeating history, Madam Speaker, in this debate, and it is very, very scary to me that we are making a lot of the same arguments today about this subset of our population that my grandfather, my grandmother, and my grandparents had to be subjected to for years, being told that they were less than, that they didn't deserve the same rights as other people because of the color of their skin. And I feel compelled this morning, Madam Speaker, to encourage us to vote no on this amendment.
So Christine Reeves is a Washington state representative, and she has determined that people's racial background, unchangeable and observable, in many cases, people are black-skinned or darker-skinned, unchangeable, noticeable, undeniable in most cases, that their racial background, their ethnic background, they're from Africa, those are facts, is the same thing as a man who says, you know what? Actually, I'm a woman. Yeah, 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 that's the ticket. That's right. I failed in male hockey. I couldn't make the backup to the backup team in male hockey, but now I'm a woman. That's the same thing. Now, didn't we say something about the devil being able to blind people to spiritual fact and therefore probably able to blind people from material reality? I think he can. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. The View hosts, after admitting that Jasmine Crockett should not have mocked Governor Abbott's disability, they went on to say Abbott basically deserved it.
She should not have made the comment at all, but Joy.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking when I saw this about, yeah, where was the outrage from Abbott when Trump was doing this?
I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
Well, that was about a reporter named Serge Kovaleski who suffered from a condition that restricts joint movement. And he had interviewed Trump many times in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So he was basically making fun of the guy's disability. And I didn't hear the outrage then.
Wait, I thought we were talking about Governor Abbott and Jasmine Crockett, who went to a private school and didn't used to speak ebonically, who suddenly speaks ebonically, calling him Hot Wheels. How did we get onto the thing with Trump and the reporter, which if you look at the video, it's hard to see that President Trump wasn't mocking him, which was cruel. It's not that hard to say. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Representative Hillary Scholten thinks that most Republicans want Democrats to take more action to stop Doge and Trump.
Even Republicans are saying, Democrats, please do something right now. You know, we feel like this is not what we voted for. You know, Elon Musk is unaccountable. He's has no transparency, no accountability. You know, he's slashing our essential services and programs, and they want to see action from the Democratic Party.
No Republicans are saying that. No one who voted for President Trump that I know is saying that. There are D.C.-based swamp creature Republicans who are saying that in private. Want to know why? Because sooner or later, Elon's people are going to find their piggy banks and their graft and their pet programs. That's why, in my mind. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, there was an event that happened to me in junior high school that made a massive impact on me, and it could have gone very, very, very badly. I used to get suspended from school a lot because I was a bad kid. And I've given you before my sort of reasoning behind this and how that all happened and how I became an enemy of the state, as it were. And I thought that as a kid, I had some justification, pretty badly mistreated by a principal. He did something illegal. He didn't, you know, beat me up or anything, but he did something that was really unethical. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to get distracted. So I actually decided I will be the enemy of the state, and I was. So they used to send me to in-home suspension, which was not a good idea because my mom worked. I was a latchkey kid. So in-home suspension meant double Hogan's Heroes. You didn't know? Yeah, back in the day, if you did a good job at searching, you could find two Hogan's Heroes in the day. A lot of sugared cereals, etc. So when I got into a class where they were teaching debate, and my classmates nominated me. They always use my last name. Have Herman do it. Have Herman do it. Guys always gifted me with the ability to speak and literally no fear of speaking in front of people. So strange. I know that's a big fear for a lot of people. I've never felt that fear. So I voluntarily took that on. And the topic was discipline in school. So in this debate, I was debating an honors student. And her point was, yes, suspension and tools like this are useful and they should be employed. And I got up and my debate was this. Have you ever been in home suspended? And the young lady said, no. Oh, here's what I do when I'm suspended at home. And have you ever been in school suspension? No. Well, here's what I do. Just derailed her. So the teacher stepped in. And she was young, and I remember her as blonde-haired and very young as a teacher. I remember thinking, gosh, she must be a student teacher. So she decided to step into the debate, and she changed the rules. So you don't get to ask me questions. You shouldn't have been asking her questions. I'm going to state my case, and you're going to state yours. So we did. She stated her case. Her case was about order in the classroom. Her case was about the right of students to hear the teacher. Her argument was about parents pay taxes to have their kids taught, not disrupted. Her argument was that this isn't necessarily just punishment. It's also an opportunity for students who are acting out to reset. It was a great argument. My counter-argument was inherent in each act of taxation is representation. We can't have taxation without representation. Students who are often put into discipline have no representation here. We're on our own, and we're not listened to. Our points of view don't matter. Our experiences don't matter. We're often subject to lack of justice. I won. Because the class voted for me. She murdered me with logic, but because the class voted for me. And afterwards, she held me after class, and she said, you did a good job in the debate. Do you think you won? I said, no. No, I think you presented a better case. Are you going to stop getting kicked out of school? No. Why? Because I'm angry. She said, that's not going to serve you well. She said this, and it just occurred to me. I pray one day you learn that's not going to serve you well. Do you remember what we talked about in segment two? She said, I pray that one day you find out that's not going to serve you well. Segment two today. One of the chief reasons I came to the Lord Jesus is because he told me, don't be angry. I should try to find that teacher. I wonder if she prayed all those years. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace, which surpasses all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.